Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga, Simon Clancy is here, Chris Kaufman is here. As always, this show is brought to you by DietSmoke.com. Use the promo code WADDLE, as in Jalen Waddle. Use the promo code WADDLE, and you get 50% off any one item. Go to DietSmoke.com for all your THC and shroom products. Also, they also got CBD there. So I'm pretty certain that we have a few other sponsors, but they're coming on and off because of the Super Bowl. So I can't mention them right now. But there is one that I do have to mention, and that's BetterEdge.com. If you go to BetterEdge.com right now, and you could go to our feed on Twitter, our 3 Yards Per Carry feed, and I will have a contest there for the Super Bowl that you can participate in. And there'll be all kinds of prizes, free t-shirts for even participating in it. You can go to betteredge.com/5reasons. That's the number 5 reasons. You get $20 just for signing up. So sign up and use the $20 to enter the contest. How easy is that? Well, one thing that wasn't easy, and I'll start with you, Simon, was this DC search. They essentially talked to everybody on the planet, and they decided on Anthony Weaver. And I'll start here. We don't know what his defensive philosophy is. We do know he comes highly recommended. Jerry Sandusky was on, and I understand that he has a very unfortunate name, but it's Jerry with a G, Sandusky. He's the voice of the Baltimore Ravens, and he was on with Joe Rose this morning, and he says expect something multiple, expect aggressiveness, expect a mix of essentially the last two defensive coordinators that the Ravens had in Wink Martindale and Mike McDonald. That sounds like an absolute dream. I don't think anybody has a clue what kind of defense he's going to run, but what do you think of the hire, Simon?
What do I think of the hire? It doesn't blow me away, but mainly because there's only 1 year's worth of kind of tape on what any sort of defensive coordinator alignment and subsequent defense would be. I mean, you go back to that 2020 Texans team, and they ran Alf, you've watched the tape, but they ran essentially a 4-3 defense, single high shell on the back end, pretty much, which obviously kind of indicates, you know, heavy man coverage. But actually, I think that I was looking earlier on today, the Texans, I think, used man only for 34%, if memory serves me, 34% of their total snaps.
And they were fourth in the league in blitz rate.
Yeah.
35.9%. Yeah.
It was a 4-3, one high safety, stacking the box, trying to maintain a little bit of coverage versatility. I actually think, you know, and obviously last year's Ravens team was significantly different. I mean, they mainly played a sort of 3-3-5. Stack the box because that's where their strength was in terms of up the middle with Madubuike and then Patrick Queen and obviously Roquan Smith. And then they're kind of you could make an argument that Kyle Hamilton was the best defensive player in the league last year in terms of the snaps that he took different positions on. And I wonder whether or not Weaver will kind of pass up a lot of what he did with Houston and lean more on maybe what he's learned with the Ravens under McDonald and, and those sorts of things, which would be, you know, I don't know if you can exactly recreate that, especially as we talked about it before. We don't know what's happening on the defensive line, but we also have versatile players, you know, for Carl Hamilton, Reed, Javon Holland, for example. People sort of forget that Holland played 2 years back to back, playing 6 snaps at safety, and everything else was playing slot corner. And he was an All-American as a slot corner and was a second round draft pick, and yet everybody thought he was going to be a safety in the NFL, and that's where he's been. So you kind of think that, you know, I wonder whether the Dolphins will continue to use some of those sort of two high shells that we saw last season, light boxes, to kind of add a little bit of the Fangio, because, you know, we were pretty good at though, you know, I think top four last season in terms of those sorts of things. I do wonder whether or not they'll blitz more. You know, especially as we try and get through the early portion of the season without Jalen Phillips, without Bradley Chubb, or at least recovering Jalen Phillips, recovering Bradley Chubb. You know, so I suspect that might raise the blitz rate. But Chris, I just kind of, it's hard to guess really. And Mike McDaniel talked about that collaborative process that he wanted to see and what he was expecting from Weaver. And I wonder whether or not there's a sort of a collaborative stealing of different formats, and maybe we just see something that maybe we've not seen before. It's just a kind of an amalgam of different schemes, a bit of Mike McDonald, a bit of Vic Fangio. And I go back to that comment that McDaniel made to me in Frankfurt when I asked him about the evolution of the offense, and he said, you know, I just try and, you know, it's not my offense, it's I just try and tailor the offense to the skill of the players that are on it. And I wonder whether or not there is a bit more collaboration in terms of tailoring the defense to the skill of the players. You know, you don't want Jalen Ramsey just, you know, playing zone coverage against their number three receiver if he's not traveling. You know, you want the guys getting up in the face and playing press, and you want Holland being versatile and doing those sorts of things. And I don't know what you think, but maybe that's what he meant by collaboration.
Well, I think when you look at Anthony Weaver's history, you're talking about a guy that's been influenced by Rex Ryan. He's been influenced by Mike Pettine. He's been influenced by, a lot of people forget that even when we're talking about as much as we would like to look at the 2020 defense of the Houston Texans, when he was officially the defensive coordinator, that was Romeo Crennel's defense. You know, that was not necessarily a defense created and, completely called by Anthony Weaver himself. Romeo Crennel was the guy there. He was the associate head coach, still very much in charge of the defense. And if this gives you any indication, Anthony Weaver's official title was defensive coordinator slash defensive line coach. You know, so I mean, the idea that he was the the buck stops with me, defensive coordinator there is even weak. So we're talking about a guy that's been that's co coached under and been influenced by Rex Ryan, Mike Pettine, Romeo Crennel for a long time, and then in Baltimore, Wink Martindale and Mike McDonald. He's had a lot of influences. And so what are we going to get with him? Well, as you suggest, we don't know. And we're kind of guessing there. And there's a certain aspect of that that I think Miami probably likes. I don't know that they want teams to know what to expect from Miami's defense. So that's, I mean, certainly if you think about week one last year, flip it to the other side of the ball with the when we traveled out west to face the Chargers. And Kellen Moore was a fresh offensive coordinator, new face in LA, and they didn't play any of their preseason starters, or starters in the preseason. And even Vic Fangio kind of admitted it, mea culpa after the game. He's like, I didn't know what to expect. I had absolutely no idea what to expect. I came into the game, thinking that we needed to stop, Mike Williams, and then we had the running back Austin, or we had Eckler jammed down our throat. I think that there's a certain advantage that Miami might be going for, and not necessarily revealing what was going, what the defense is exactly going to look like. So there's that, but then there's also, I said this in OnlyFans even before they came out with a statement about the hire of Mike or of Anthony Weaver. I said in the introductory press conference, you're going to hear the word collaborative a lot, and I think that that's just I think reaction to what happened, what ended up happening with Vic Fangio, and the complaints that were had, or were made by assistant coaches, by players, by everybody, that Vic, just kind of walked all over everybody and did his thing and didn't really take much, in the way of suggestions, or certainly only if he agreed with it, I guess. And so I think that this approach under Anthony Weaver, why he's here is because he's had so many different influences, because he's worked under so many different defensive minds. And now he has a staff where they're all going to have ideas, and they're all going to, and the players are going to have ideas. Jalen Ramsey is going to have ideas. You know, Kader Kohou is going to have ideas. The guys in the secondary are going to have opinions about the way they should be attacking the opposing offenses based on their strengths. And I think Anthony Weaver is there to listen to them all and bring it together. And that, so if we're talking about what exactly is the Miami Dolphins defense going to look like, I think, yes, they're probably going to keep a lot of the same terminology of what's been established. But otherwise, it's going to be, you know, a real collaboration of ideas from the assistants and from the players as well. And that's why he's here.
Now, if I told you, dear listener, that we knew exactly what the scheme was going to look like, we'd be lying. I think what Chris just said is probably more in line. They're going to keep a lot of these same elements, and they're going to incorporate some of his own. You got to think that working under Don Martindale, Wink Martindale, and Mike McDonald, you got to pick up something. So we're just going to assume, okay, we're going to assume that that's part of his ethos. If it is, Simon, what does that mean for the personnel that might be returning or might not be returning on this roster?
Sorry, say that again, Alf. You broke up a tiny bit. You might just have to edit me out there.
Okay, we're going to assume that part of his, you know, upbringing in the NFL, we know it's under Don Martindale and Mike McDonald, and it stands to reason that he's going to build his defensive philosophy around what he learned under those two guys. Let's just assume that that's the case. If that's the case, what does that mean for the defensive personnel that could be returning or could not be returning?
Oh, well, I mean, if you take in a lot of Wink Martindales, then you're taking seriously heavy blitzing. You know, I mean, that's an absolute Wink staple. You know, that's aggressiveness. That's kind of throwing the kitchen sink at quarterbacks in terms of what Wink does. And, you know, his defense essentially for years has been an absolute outlier. But I think that, you know, do you have the horses to run a Wink Martindale defense? And I'm not sure that, you know, necessarily you do. I mean, you look at, I mean, a lot of it comes down to free agency, and you look at some of the players. You've got Brandon Jones, arguably the best blitzing defensive back in the league.
Free agent,
obviously. You know, there are going to be players that, I mean, before you even look at blitzing, you kind of have to look at who's going to be around, who's going to play. I mean, I think what's interesting about Weaver is that it's clear that, you know, you look at some of the players that he's had under him in terms of some of the, you know, I was looking earlier on at the defensive linemen, for example, that he's coached specifically, who've done, you know, extremely well in terms of, you know, player development. And you look at, you know, the Pro Bowlers like Kyle Williams and JJ Watt and Clowney and Marcel Darius and Mario Williams, but then most recently Justin Madubuike. And if we're losing Christian Wilkins, you know, the job that he's done with Madubuike, who, you know, clearly was a talented player when he came out, third rounder, I think, in 2020, 2021. But he was inconsistent, and now he's turned him into a first-team All-Pro. He led the NFL in sacks for a defensive tackle, and looks like an absolute superstar. So,
and know, I don't know if did you see him in that in those challenges on the Pro Bowl on Sunday, Simon?
I didn't.
It's impossible. I'm pretty certain that Christian Wilkins is a pretty athletic player as well, but watching him do some of those, like he was doing the hurdles, he was doing the high jump, like that guy's how does a man that size move that way?
Yeah, no. I mean, you look at Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, 10 sacks this season, which is, you know, you're getting that kind of production from a guy, you know, in his 30s or age 30. That's, you know, that's a pretty solid accomplishment for an Anthony Weaver. So I think, you know, whilst everybody's the whole Christian Wilkins, will he, won't he leave? And I suspect he does leave. You know, I think, you know, he's shown the ability to develop players, certainly along the defensive line, which is, God knows, Miami's going to need that. It'll be interesting. People are talking about, oh, you know, we're going to bring in Patrick Queen and, you know, the three of us had a discussion at the weekend about Patrick Queen and Jerome Baker. To me, Jerome Baker is a better player. Now, Patrick Queen struggled mightily in his first, what, th four seasons, three seasons, four seasons with the Ravens. And I don't think it's a surprise that he played better and his best football, A, in a contract year, but B, alongside a stud like Roquan Smith. You know, you look at some of the potential free agents that he might bring over, and actually I think you look at people like Brent Urban and Arthur Millette. I think they're far more likely than a Patrick Queen, if indeed he does go to the well of old Baltimore
Geno
players.
Stone's available. Any thoughts on
Geno
Geno
Stone
Stone?
is available, of course, but you know, does Geno Stone, that depends on what you're going to do with Javon Holland. I mean, Geno Stone would play a if you're going to if you're going to play a similar Vic Fangio scheme, I kind of feel like you have to retain Deshaun Elliott or bring Deshaun Elliott back on another year contract because he played so well. In terms of if you're looking for a, you know, box safety, an alley running safety, a guy that can essentially rotate from light box to heavy box, that's what he does better. I mean, Deshaun Elliott was essentially born to play that scheme, and I thought he had a very solid year. It just depends on what you want to do with Javon Holland, because you know it's okay to put Kyle Hamilton in the slot and at inside linebacker and defensive end and defensive tackle and cornerback, which are all the multiple positions he played last year, as well as playing safety. You don't want to leave, you know, Deshaun Elliott, if you're gonna potentially copy a little bit of what they did with Hamilton with Holland, you're not gonna leave Deshaun Elliott single high on the back end. You know, you're gonna need an athletic safety, and that's what Geno Stone did, and he turned in with seven or eight interceptions through the season. So it will be very interesting to see how it plays out, but I think development of players is clearly high on the agenda because that's something that he has a history with. All depends on who we retain as free agents. All depends on what the scheme is, but it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. And I think we'll begin to get an indicator, Chris, as free agency begins and we start to see the sorts of players they're looking to bring in, and of course whether or not they either retain Wilkins or, you know, get rid of Wilkins and get rid of Howard, which I suspect will probably end up both being the case.
Howard, I think is kind of a definite, unless Howard plays ball in a reduction in pay, and that's really hard to tell at this point. But maybe I missed it. I mean, Matt Ebwike is a free agent, right?
He is a free agent,
Yes.
yeah.
So I mean, we're sitting here. Christian Wilkins, as far is a free agent. Like at he's not officially free today, but I mean the way that those negotiations are going, with difficulty coming to an agreement with one another, what is to stop the Dolphins from saying, okay, Christian Wilkins won't take our offer, but maybe Justin Madubuike will.
Yeah. And by the
And
way, I could interject on this. I was told it's become kind of the conventional wisdom that Christian Wilkins turned down something in the neighborhood of what Dexter Lawrence got, which was about 21 APY and about 60 million guaranteed. I was told under no circumstances was it anywhere near as close to that money, but it was top 10 money, which you could, if you start to work it backwards, you're thinking somewhere around 17 and about 45. So, in other words, he considered it an insult, decided to play the season, and that's where we are today.
Yeah, well, and I don't want to get everybody's hopes up about Matt Ebwike. I mean, it's certainly the smart thing for the Ravens to do would probably be to franchise him, but at the same time, franchise tag costs $20 million for that position. So, and that's a $20 million block of salary cap that you just can't really manipulate in any way. You can't reduce it. You can't, it doesn't function as access to the NFL credit card, so to speak. It wouldn't be terribly surprising if Matt Ebwike did have to hit free agency. And on the Patrick Queen thing, I think this is a case where Patrick Queen is, I think, immediately giving signs or telling people maybe on background or maybe even he said something in public, I don't know, that he'd love to join Anthony Weaver in Miami. And I think that we as Dolphins fans, we're probably taking that wrong. We should probably just take that for the compliment that it is toward Anthony Weaver. It doesn't mean that Patrick Queen is going to be a Miami Dolphin. I don't think that is going to be the case. I don't think the Dolphins are going to, jettison Jerome Baker and then give Patrick Queen a whole pile of money to come over and take his place. But you know, Rock Ya-Sin is a free agent from Baltimore. He hasn't gotten a ton of chances to play there. So, you know, it does make me wonder if, you know, guys like that hadn't had a ton of chances to play, but, you know, who would have seen them a lot in practice, who would have had a lot of exposure to them over the years, you know, it'd be guys that worked with them, in Baltimore. So, I think that's something to consider, maybe. It doesn't have to be Rocky. That was just an example, but clearly some lower level free agents that are on the Baltimore Ravens would be in line to look at. You know, of course, this might be too literal of a comparison, but I'm looking at, for example, Michael Pierce and the role that he played on that defensive line, and Anthony Weaver being a defensive line guy. And you know, if we do lose Christian Wilkins, then one wonders if Tavondre Sweat of Texas comes into play as a, you know, gigantic guy who is a lot more athletic than he probably has a right to be based on his size and weight. And at the same time, you know, I know that people are like, there's no way he could possibly make it to the Dolphins pick at number 55. But I would caution about that particular position. When a guy starts to get the doubts that he can be three down, that he can be pass rush extraordinaire at that position, then, you know, they do sink because it really brings into frame the fact that they're not Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer, who are taking almost all the snaps. You know, we're talking about guys who are more like Raekwon Davis, who, in terms of the number of snaps that they can play. So if Tavondre Sweat, you know, I noticed he did not weigh in at the Senior Bowl, so there's something there. If he weighs in at the combine and, you know, people just don't like how he looks there or whatever it may be, or they're not buying it, then yeah, it is conceivable that he could be had somewhere in the second round. And I think that would be something to look at for the Dolphins from a personnel standpoint under Weaver.
All right. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we will talk a little draft as the first round of mock drafts came out and my spirit animal released one, so that's why we're going to talk about it. So that's Lance Zierlein, by the way. So first, these words.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
And we're back. Well, I said it before we went to break, and I look forward to this every single year because, first of all, he's deadly with this, okay? Like, he usually consistently gets the most first-rounders correct out of anybody. And I know it's, you know, it's way, way out right now. But he mocks, and talking about Lance Zierlein here for NFL.com, he mocks Graham Barton, offensive lineman, Duke, to Miami at 21. And he has them passing over Faltano. You know, Tyler Guyton, I'm not a big fan, but some are. You know, JPJ, Brian Thomas. You get the Roman Wilson. You get the gist of where I'm going with this. If this did come to pass, Simon, how would you feel about it? Graham Barton at 21.
Yeah, I think Barton's an excellent player. You know, this is a guy that can play five positions. You look at his Duke tape, you know, he's a left tackle. At Duke, I think he's an excellent player. Whether he's a guard, whether he's a center, that remains to be seen. I just think, you know, he's got short arms, but almost always inside the defender's frame. You know, his technique is excellent. He's solid. Loads of quality tape showing blocking on an island, blocking on the move. He's a great athlete. You see him, you know, there's film of him all over, just, you know, pulling and out in front of backs. He's quick out of his stance. He's got excellent feet. And he's strong. Like, and he looks developed strong from his tape from a year ago to last season. I think he's stronger than he did. He's got great grip strength. Yeah, and I just think he's one of the most athletic offensive linemen in the draft. He's 6'5", he's 306. He plays center as a freshman, but, you know, it just depends on, you know, apples and eggs or whatever the saying is in terms of who we retain, you know, as to where he would play. But I like him a lot. I think he's a really good player, and I think he'd be a really solid pick. And as we were saying just before we came on air, you know, a smart team that drafts offensive linemen really well and turns them into really good players, like the Eagles, like the Packers, will end up drafting him and turn him into a, you know, a 10-year kind of Pro Bowl caliber player. So I would not have a problem with Graham Barton at all.
Chris, any FOMO with Graham Barton at 21, passing up the names that I mentioned?
No, actually, I mean, he does strike me. It's almost in the same vein as when they drafted and they traded up for Liam Eichenberg, which I know a lot of people are going to, you know, immediately that'll turn them off because of it. But it does. He's always been very striking to me as a player that, if especially if Miami is picking late in the first round, that they might be on to. I guess the reluctance I would have about him is, you really gotta, if you're going to plug him in at center, for example, then you've really got to feel like you have a good grip on what he's going to be at center, because the last time we saw him on at center for Duke was years ago. And frankly, I've looked at that, you know, that film of him, and there wasn't anything in particular about him that stood out in a very, very positive way, you know, as a difference maker, as a center. And you're looking for a difference maker in the first round. So obviously he has developed since then, but he also hasn't played center since then. He did it a little bit in the Senior Bowl practices. I haven't seen too much of the clips there or anything, but you really got to know, feel like you have your arms around that is my caution. However, I will say this, you know, as a guy who I've been talking about this a lot lately with the with respect to Miami and college and the playoffs and the concept of pass sets and how many real pass sets these offensive linemen actually have. and how you as an offensive coordinator and the way that you design your plays and call your plays can kind of hide their deficiencies a little bit. In Miami, they had probably their offensive linemen do the least heavy lifting and pass protection that I've ever seen an offensive line do over the last decade. Plus, you know, and I will say this about that. This is one issue with college players coming out is college is like that. And college, it's more ubiquitous across the college landscape to go with that kind of approach. And so the net effect of that is that you don't know a lot of what these guys faced in pass protection coming out of college, because, you know, there's only Amarius Mims, for example. You know, we're going to draft him in the first round. The man had, I think, 40 true pass sets this year. You know, that's not a lot of film. That's not a lot of film to say you got your arms around a guy. I remember back in the day, 2014, 10 years ago, Greg Robinson was the number two overall pick in the draft. He was supposed to be this, you know, this real transcendent left tackle with his run blocking, his strength, his athleticism. But every time I looked at the tape, I was like, I can't find hardly any instances of this guy actually setting back in pass protection under Gus Malzahn, like he would in the NFL. And frankly, if you think that guys in the NFL are becoming all pro because of the run blocking at left tackle, then I think that that's a misperception. Guys in the NFL become all pro because, you know, they can sit back in pass protection and erase, you know, some of the best pass rushers in the league, and they're trustworthy in pass protection. That's the reality of the NFL. And Greg Robinson, he had almost nothing to go on. And sure enough, he ends up a bust at the NFL level as a left tackle. But this is what you're facing across the landscape in the NFL, with guys having very few real pass protection sets. And one thing I'll say about Grant Barton, to bring it around nicely to him, is that he did have a lot. You know, he was tested in pass protection. And you may not think he's ultimately destined to be at that position, or maybe he is, who knows? But he was tested. He has a lot of tape there, in pass protection, in real pass protection, so that you can get your arms around what he can and can't do. And that to me is a big positive about him.
By the way, Trevor Sycamore released his first mock, and he has Miami taking Troy Fotano at 21, and he has them taking Chop Robinson at 53. If that happens, I'm printing out that tweet and I'm eating it live on the air. There's no chance in hell Chop Robinson makes it to 53. Simon, your thoughts? I think he's a first-round talent.
I think Robinson's vastly overrated. He's got limited production. I think, go back and look at, he had a six-game stretch, I think, where he had one quarterback pressure in six games.
He reminds me a lot of the guy that, before him, Owe, what was his last name?
Yeah, Dafe Owe, who's at the Ravens. Yeah, I mean,
yes, and he also got overdrafted because he's a twitched up edge rusher. They look nice, you know what I mean? And they're going to run good at the combine. People going to overdraft them. I don't know.
Owe has been good.
He's been pretty good, but he hasn't been as advertised, I would say.
Yeah, I think Robinson kind of gets washed out in the run game as well. I mean, if you're looking at defensive linemen in terms of Miami, I would be very interested in Leatu Latu of UCLA, who I think is, you know, has just got so much feel for the position. He's such a savvy pass rusher. I think he's the best pass rusher in terms of what he brings to the table, in terms of his array of abilities. The other guy that nobody's talking about is one of my favorite players in the draft, is the kid at Missouri, Darius Robinson, who was excellent in the Senior Bowl. He's about 296. He plays inside, he plays outside. He lines up all over as a pass rusher. He's got some ability to get home from outside. Inside, he's an excellent rusher. I mean, he plays a little bit high sometimes. But he's a dominant run defender, and it wouldn't surprise me in terms of somebody that you just, you know, you want to give to Weaver and say, look, here's a toy, turn him into kind of, you know, you can get him up into the 305 area, or he could probably be 285, whatever you want to do with him. I think he's a very, very interesting player in terms of somebody that I think the Dolphins would have a lot of interest in. I mean, you know, it kind of makes me very nervous when I hear that you know, Chris Greer was sitting down and eulogizing about Patrick Paul of Houston. And,
yes, yes.
You know, this is a guy that, you know, I watched every pass set that he gave, that he did at the Senior Bowl, and he gave up his chest more than Stormy Daniels did to Donald Trump. I mean, this guy was, you know,
there's a reference and a visual.
He just allowed people into his chest rep after rep. You know, he needs a complete technique restructure. The other thing that we talked about on OnlyFins, which is our Discord, which you can join for $3 a month, is, you know, we talked about, I've seen three mock drafts today, all done by sort of well-respected people, and all three of them have Olafashinu falling down. I mean, the one I'm looking at now, which is the one you mentioned earlier on by Lance Zerline, has Fashinu at 18. Two of the three have Brock Bowers falling to 16. I mean, you've got to think, if there's a scenario where Brock Bowers falls down to 16 with Miami picking at 21, they're not the only team that would want to look to move up. But my goodness, the dimension that Bowers could add to that offense is, you know, under Mike McDaniel is pretty impressive. But same with Fashanu, if he falls into that region, you kind of got to feel like, you know, even though I don't think he played nearly as well this year as he did the year before, you know, he's got a high toolbox in terms of high caliber skill set that, you know, needs a bit of development. But
my thinking is that Bowers will run 4.5 at the combine and it'll be a wrap, and then you can forget about 16.
At that position, those guys fall. I mean, at that position.
And you look at the last guy that was taken that high in Kyle Pitts and has really struggled to have an impact. And you've got to remember that, you know, you've got Caleb Williams, you've got, you know, Drake May, you've got Jaden Daniels. Those three are going to go top five, probably top three, right? Then you throw in the receivers, and Harrison, Adunze, and Neighbors are probably going to go top 12. Then in terms of corners, you're probably looking at Terry and Arnold's going to go really high. Then you know, Quinion Mitchell was absolutely dominant at the Senior Bowl. We haven't even mentioned pass rushers yet. So Dallas Turner. And then you look at offensive tackles. Well, you've got Alt, looks like he's going to be the first off the board. But you've got Fuaga, who was dominant at the Senior Bowl. Fashanu, who we've just talked about. And then, you know, you're into kind of J.C. Latham. And all of a sudden, you know, we haven't even mentioned Jared Verse or, you know, any of these guys. Yeah. And all of a sudden, that's I've mentioned 15 names at that point. You know, and there's always a guy or two that go, you know, who are a bit surprising in terms of, you know, does a Byron Murphy go up? What about the rest of the quarterbacks in terms of, you know, Bo Nix or McCarthy, we haven't mentioned? Where does Spencer Rattler end up, given the dominant performance or fairly dominant performance he turned in the Senior Bowl practices? There's always going to be a kind of a
quarterback. Well, they got to rethink that. You can't go 4-for-4 and then you get this beautiful giant vase, you know, full of peanut butter cups. Like, they got to rethink that. Look at the tape or something. There has to be an offensive lineman that played better.
But, you know, you look at someone like Ennis Rakestraw, you know, does Rakestraw go higher? I mean, you know, I just think it's, you just don't know with these things. You just don't know. And, you know, I look at Kyle Pitts going fifth overall and, you know, had the great rookie season, has kind of fallen off a cliff. And you just wonder, is there a buyer beware with teams, you know, looking at a tight end and thinking, you know what, I could draft a left tackle or a right tackle, or I could add Jared Verse, or I could add, you know, whoever. I'm just going to pass on Bowers. And all of a sudden he trickles down to 14, 15, 16. And, you know, sure, you'd have Mike McDaniel just jumping all over Chris Greer saying, pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull the trigger. So, I don't know. You just can't tell at this point.
Well, I would add to that, you know, somebody like a Jerzon Newton, who, you know, based on tape, I don't see why he should be available at 21. But at the same time, you know, the players stack up. And as you were just saying, the one I probably don't buy still is Olu Fashanu, because I think he is so good on tape, and, you know, all certainly his analytics match up, and maybe there's something there that I don't know about, and maybe that's what I'm not picking up on. But I did bring up a long time ago the Brock Bowers thing. You know, this is a position where, since the Kyle Pitts thing, which is kind of turning out to be, you know, not a good example. That position does fall. So,
all right, and I think we could leave it right there. We were going to put a bow on the Senior Bowl, but why after we just spoke about 15 to 20 prospects? We will get into that plenty in the months to come. On Thursday, we're going to be doing something very, very familiar to you all. We will preview the Super Bowl, but till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.